Tonight's BB19 Eviction Recap is sponsored by Simply Safe. When it comes to protecting the ones you love, we can all agree nothing is more important than their safety. That's why I use Simply Safe to protect my family. Simply Safe is a security arsenal expertly engineered to protect each access point to your home and halt the intruders in their tracks, because you can set up the system yourself in under an hour and save hundreds on installation fees. Simply Safe is designed so that you can easily blanket, just like Audrey, your entire home in professional protection. And Simply Safe isn't going to cost you an arm and a leg, or even just a leg in Christmas's case. 24/7 monitoring is just $14.99 a month with no hidden fees, no gotchas. That's it. No long-term contract. You don't have to deal with any snakes at all. Simply Safe will never lock you into a contract because they earn your business every single day. To find out why millions of Americans trust Simply Safe to protect their loved ones, go to simplysafe.com/dad now. If you order today, you'll get an extra 10% off plus a free keychain remote and free shipping on top of that. That's all at simplysafe.com. That's SimpliSafe.com/dad. Coming to you live from my apartment, it's Rob Has a Podcast. And now, here's the guy who's been pounding pickle juice all day to get ready for this. I'm Rob Sestrino. Hello, everybody, and welcome to our special Thursday night eviction recap. And we've got a lot to do. Very busy night tonight, and we've got a great guest back here with us. It's been some time since we talked with this man. He took a season off from podcasting, but he is back, and we're very excited to talk to the winner of Big Brother 17, the great, not loser, Steve Moses. Winner!
Woo woo! I'm sorry, I had to give you a hard time for that. I did.
Yes. Steve, how you doing, buddy?
I am doing well. It's fun to be getting back into Big Brother. Last season, I watched the first two episodes, and it was just too soon.
Too soon.
So I kind of took a break last year. I saw maybe a couple episodes, so I'm most certainly not familiar with the details of last season. But I'm a bit more removed now, excited to be getting back into it.
Yeah, well, you seem good, Steve. You seem like you got a little spring in your step tonight. We've been having a lot of fun as we were getting ready to come on here tonight. So very much looking forward to getting into everything with you here tonight. And then also with us tonight, a man who's not going to know what to do with himself because the live feeds are dark as we get ready for the Battle Back competition. Welcome back, Alex Kidwell. Alex, how are you?
I'm doing good, Rob. Yeah, maybe I could go outside or something. I don't know. Moved to California and I've gotten paler since I've been here. Has that happened?
That'll happen only
as a live feed correspondent can that
all right.
happen.
And so also at this hour, we have a lot of stuff going on between the eviction of Dominique. We have the Den of Temptation was in action. We saw that Jessica won the Halting Hex. But at this hour, we have
breaking news are happening now.
Breaking news at this hour. There was a lot of talk. Twitter was buzzing with the news that potentially Big Brother Canada, which was put on hiatus earlier this summer, left for dead. Hold on a second, Steve Moses. Break out the Halting Hex. Arissa Cox and Global TV are reporting that Big Brother Canada is back. The Woo! Odyssey. The Odyssey returns, Steve.
Oh, I am so excited. It's awesome that I remember I was so happy when Big Brother Canada became a thing, just to have something for off season and give, you know, other people a chance. And I'm really glad to see it come back. Throughout my life, none of these big shows have ever been canceled. And it's weird that it was just a weird thing to think about.
It was a weird thing to think about. But much like the Battle Back, Big Brother Canada was out, and now they're coming back in. We'll see exactly what happens. Now, honestly, I don't know a lot of the details. I don't know what changed in terms of the situation. Alex, do you know anything at this hour?
I credit your petition, Rob. I do.
Well, no.
I credit the petition.
I don't know about that.
You know, Arissa is literally saying on the commercial that thanks to overwhelming fan support and feedback, I'm seeing people circulate this petition that have no business knowing about it. Take a little piece here,
no,
sir.
Here's what I'll say. Thanks to everybody who, you know, took a shot, not of pickle juice, and said, you know what? What the hell? What the hell? I'll sign this. Who knows if it's gonna work? You know, who knows? You know, and there was a lot, you know, people retweeted hashtags, and I really do feel like that the fan community came out, and not just on the petition, but in a lot of different ways, that people really were, you know, showed the love for Big Brother Canada. And so I think that this was a great demonstration of what people can do when they get together for a really good cause in bringing Big Brother Canada back. So really excited for Arissa and Aaron and everybody over at Big Brother Canada to have the show be coming back for Big Brother Canada 6. And outside of that, we don't know any details. So good job on the halting hex for Big Brother Canada. All right. So a lot of stuff to get to here tonight. Hashtag RHAP. Scott St. Pierre is on assignment tonight, so Alex and I are going to be manning the Twitter for your questions later on in the show. Be on the lookout for that. Also, 2 weeks from tonight, I'll be live in New York City with Eric Stein and Big Brother 17's Johnny Mack, Steve Moses, and we will be recapping 2 weeks from tonight. Could be a double eviction? Who knows? Julie did not tease a double eviction. Alex, how's it looking for double eviction for the live show?
I have no idea, because I don't know if like this curse is going to impact when they do it or something like that. I mean, there is some interesting speculation. I'm kind of like digging through the Big Brother Reddit discussions right now, because I'm trying to just like, we're all trying to figure out what's going on.
Look, you bring somebody back this week. They didn't tease the double eviction coming up this week. If you're going to do one, maybe August 3rd is going to be the night. And if you want to come out and see us, still some tickets left for that show. I do expect it to be a sellout. You can get them at robhasawebsite.com/BB19. Live. All right. So let's jump into everything. It was a 10-0 vote that sent Dominique out of the house, Steve. But in a lot of ways, that was sort of the undercard on this episode, which really did a deep dive into the Mark and Josh fight. One of the most surreal Big Brother altercations that we've ever seen.
I guess I don't get it, because
you're not the only one.
This game of pool that you're playing,
yes,
doesn't matter whether Mark won or Josh won, is totally irrelevant. If I was playing Josh and Josh made the double tap and I technically won, if he told me I lost, I would have taken the shot. It's not worth it.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And well, that is the opinion of a good Big Brother player.
Well, I think here's what you're not appreciating, Steve, is that this isn't just about a game of pool. All right, it's about your integrity as a man and as a person and as a human and as
an
individual.
But Mark was right. Josh was the one ranting about integrity, and Josh was the one that was wrong. He did actually double tap. Mark is the one who won that game.
Mark's totally right and totally has the moral high ground until he puts hot sauce all up in your face there.
Yeah, that happened. And I don't know what took Mark from not having the shot to thinking it was a good idea to throw in Josh's face.
And posturing, like, too. What's up?
Like, what was going on in Mark's mind that took him from thinking this was a good idea? Like, where did that come from? Because he's been pretty cool, calm, and collected up to this point.
Why so aggressive, Meatball?
Yeah, good question. Alex, I know that you were glued to the feeds on Monday when this was going on. How did the show do in terms of telling this story?
They did fine. I mean, there was like, it's not like there was this elaborate game of telephone or some of these like really, you know, nuanced things like with, you know, some of the stuff we talk about with Big Brother. This was pretty straightforward, pretty cut and dry. We got real kindergarten up in here one day afternoon.
Yeah. Steve, what's the most heated a game of pool got in the Big Brother 17 house?
I remember there was one time that Devon was trying to play pool with me, but she wasn't trying to play pool. She was trying to campaign for my vote, and I didn't want that, so I didn't end up playing with her. And then she ended up crying to everyone how mean I was. By the way, love day, just throwing that out there, but I remember her feelings were hurt. I didn't want to be a part of her campaigning.
Okay.
But yeah, nothing like this. This is a cast that's having a trouble with the line of where the personal relationships start and where the game starts, because those are two different ball games. And 17 was great because people were great at, I'm targeting you, but we can still play pop ball at the end of the day. And this season, that line is just, they're all meshing into each other. Yes. It's really messy, but it's great TV at the same time.
It was very messy, literally. And Steve, we got to see so much of this fight tonight, but I feel like that even Julie was straining to explain why we were seeing this. Like, here's something that happened, and you know, we saw the first part of it, and then we went to commercial, and she came back and she said, yeah, this is a silly fight, but you know, there's a stay with us. It kind of has to do with the eviction vote.
And I think the fact that this fight is happening on the kindergartenish level that you're talking about is a testament to how good Robin Cass is at her job. She was able to find a group of 20-something and 30-something adults who act like this. And I like, at the same time, Josh has been crazy. I love him. He is wonderful, wonderful entertainment. He's wonderful TV, a great casting decision. And when we look back on BB19, the future, even if he goes this next week, Josh is going to be a huge part of this season.
Yeah, Josh has been very fun. It's been weird. He's been really very much in your face and then also invisible at times on the TV show. Alex, how did we put Josh into perspective?
Oh, he's just a really interesting dude. I mean, he's very young, right? And I mean, I'm pretty sure, yeah, lives at home. So, I mean, just not a lot of life experience. And he, you know, he's very opinionated and emotional sometimes. And then at other times, he's very contrite. I mean, he's really kind of got two personalities in a lot of ways. I mean, he doesn't, but he kind of like has this, he's very hot and cold. He's very up and down. And at times he's just like, you know, so passive and remorseful. And at other times he's just bordering on straight up megalomania. So like to see that Josh win head of household, I think is really what we need at this point. That's what would really be fun.
He's hot and cold.
It's a really weird transition because you'll have him being the super angry, aggressive, I hate you, you didn't do. And then he'll go like be upset that his feelings were hurt. Mm-hmm. And I mean, like, it's just so if your feelings are hurt, then why are you yelling at this person in the first place? I don't get it.
Yeah.
Put it in Cody. He goes from being an alpha to a beta very quickly.
Yeah. He really flips the AB switch back and forth. Alex, how did this play out after the fight? Did Mark and Josh continue to have beef, or was this sort of an isolated incident?
No, I mean, it wasn't isolated. It continued to be a thing for a little while, at least between them. I mean, other people, like you saw Jess get involved, and, you know, that kind of opened the door for, like, then there was some conversation between, like, Dom and Christmas that happened right after that, and just, like, kind of, like, just varying arguments kind of spill. It was like, you know, the argument card had been played, and everyone was now, like, free to play theirs. But as far as the relationship between Josh and Mark, it was definitely tense. For at least like 24 hours or so, they finally had a conversation, really at like Paul's urging. Paul was the one that kind of pushed Mark to go and, you know, make peace with Josh. Like, Josh is never going to be the guy, I think, that like approaches you. Well, I mean, he kind of was with Megan, I guess we saw, but like we didn't see with Feeds how that really happened. But like, Josh doesn't strike me as the guy to be like, yeah, no, you're right. I'm sorry. I really was just like totally in the wrong there, unless he's like made to feel that way. So, you know, Mark goes and talks to him. They apologize to each other and seem to squash it. But like with most things in the Big Brother house, like once someone's given you a reason not to trust them, you know, like it's kind of tough. So, I mean, they're not mad at each other anymore. They apologize to each other, but like they would still nominate each other just because now you have a reason to nominate this person when you didn't have reasons for other people.
Okay, so let's talk a little bit about Dominique and Jessica. And we did not really see a lot about Dominique. It was almost like the Wednesday night show was exclusively about Dominique. And then here tonight we threw, okay, here is Jessica at least fighting with Josh. So we got to see her a little bit. But she ends up getting the halting hex, which we find out can be used in one of the next 4 weeks. Steve, quite a gambit here first by Jessica to not use the halting hex while she was on the block.
I like it. I like it a lot. I think that if she was comfortable enough that she was safe, especially with Cody most likely coming back, it's not unlikely that in the next couple of weeks we're going to go into an eviction again with Cody and Jessica on the block next to each other when she can coup de Jeff her way out of it. I think this is going to result in a great TV moment coming up.
Oh, so this is going to save Cody next Thursday. This is going to be fantastic. So first off, let me just say how much I love the halting hex, which is great. And kudos to Jessica. Now she has hex appeal. But here is the spell, which she has to say.
Halting hex rise. Eviction night dies. Halting hex rise. Eviction night dies.
Halting hex rise. Eviction night dies.
That is going to be so awkward when she has to say it three times.
Yeah, I tweeted about this. I'm like, she has a real dilemma now because on the one hand, you can really take control of this game or save your life. But on the other hand, national television having to say this thing, is it really worth it?
Yeah, yeah, that's great. I love it. I love the incantation, Steve.
I think it's going to – I'm glad – it was good for her that she didn't use it. And I think the reason we didn't see any hinky votes, especially from like Kevin for the first time tonight, is I think because people were nervous about a flip, especially because of the Jessica fight that just happened for no necessary reason. So I think people were a bit nervous and ensured that Dominique wanted to go. And I think that bit of confidence in the house was like, okay, I don't want to waste this because she's still a target. She could easily be on the block sitting next to you a pawn in a couple of weeks. And this could really save her butt.
Now, Steve, this did not go down exactly like I thought, and hopefully we can try to speculate on what is going to happen. So in my mind, that there was going to be this Den of Temptation, there was going to be the Halting Hex given out, someone would take said Halting Hex, and the curse would be, now you've invoked the battle back.
Calm down.
Well, I think one fear production at least has to have in mind, and I'm sorry to date myself, but I'm going to, when Boogie got the original coup d'etat in season 7, he wanted an early version of the coup d'etat, and he didn't use it. And I think production was upset that they put this thing in the game and they put all this work to it and they didn't come in. Mm-hmm. And I think they're kind of afraid with this halting hex. Things could possibly end up working out really well for Jessica, and they're afraid she might not use it. So I think they need to make sure that whether it's used or not, they need to find a way in. I think their plan A is the temptation hasn't happened yet, so it might be to release the person in the game when she uses it.
Yeah.
See, here's my thing is, like, it's just so hard to speculate. Like, it's one thing to introduce variables, but we just don't know. Like, just there's huge gaps in the rules, and we just don't know, like... And then just even the explanations are wrong. When Julie tells us there was 4 people who battled back last year. No, there were 5. Like, how can we trust anything you say?
That's a little ticky-tack, Kidwell.
I'm just saying, misinformation is abound.
Yeah.
I think it's disorganized and kind of chaotic. And the reason why is there, I think, if I were on production, they're a number down where they should be because of Megan. And now there is an off chance that Jessica doesn't use this. There's a lot of areas for production and what decisions they make will based on the way the game goes. I think that's why they're leaving it open-ended. They're leaving their options open.
Okay. So tell me, Steve, do you think that the battle back in any way is tied into the curse? Because I would like to end up seeing somehow that come together because I really would like to get to...
Behind the back. It's a layup.
Cameron, please come to the Glen of Temptation.
You know, maybe that's what Julie said 4. Maybe they're just trying to, like, bury the entire Glenn Garcia narrative.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah, he could be right there in the Glen of Temptation, Steve.
I think what would make the most sense is that the consequence for Jessica using the halting hex is the battle back. Because that is objectively a bad thing for the house because it's one more person they have to compete against. So it would be a negative consequence for everyone playing.
Yeah. So do you think that the person that comes back from the battle back will then be announced as the curse? That's what they're going to find out? Because, I mean, that's really not going to be much of a curse when Cody comes back for Jessica.
It's a curse for everyone else.
Yeah, it's a curse.
And technically... And
it's a real Pandora's box, yeah.
To be completely honest, it still kind of probably will be a curse for Jessica if Cody comes back.
Her game is on the rise.
Because right now, everyone's leaving her alone. Yeah. No one, she's in a spot kind of like Ramsay's, who people are saying he's not in a good spot. I disagree, because no one cares enough. She's so easy to get out, no one's going to want to use an HOH on her.
Right.
And when Cody comes back in, there she goes back on the block.
So, Alex, do you think that the curse is going to be the person comes back from the battle back, or do you think that the curse is going to be something unrelated?
I think it'll be somehow related, but I just don't necessarily know how. And I feel like maybe it'll have to do with just kind of like, you know, whether it's like a second person coming back. Because Julie said like one person will definitely, I don't know, her wording was weird in a way that made me think maybe more than one could come back. Or maybe there could be a situation where the next week would play out differently, like, you know, there's a double eviction at the end of the week, or there's a, you know what I mean? Like, so I feel like the battle back, introducing another player by changing the house dynamics, if nothing else, that will dictate how this plays out.
Okay. So we'll get back to the battle back, but first let's just talk through Dominique and her going out. And Dominique, you know, she has gotten on my nerves a little bit. That, Steve, why does Dominique constantly refer to her team in the Big Brother house?
I can almost understand where she's coming from, because like, you don't have a support base in the house. All you have are your allies, and it's a really artificial idea that contradicts life, and that the people who you're closest with are ultimately your opponents.
Mm-hmm.
So I can understand how I personally had to constantly remind myself, no, I can't trust these people. No, these people want me to lose eventually. It's an artificial thing, and I can totally understand. And if you don't pile that into yourself, I can see how you can lose sight of that.
I know that the speeches don't matter for anything, but Dominique was really all over the place. And in terms of the outline of what she was going for, it was pretty bizarre. I mean, she started first with...
It's never easy to witness a false fact. It's never easy to dribble the ball back. So I dribble to scribble through all of that, dunking hope against hope, I call this very moment.
Why is she talking about basketball?
I think it's an analogy for the ball like bouncing back in her favor.
I don't know. But then she went into talking about how she can't trust people. And then we did God stuff. It was just there was no through line, Steve.
I didn't follow her speech, so I can't comment. I listened to it. I rewound it. I watched it twice. I don't know what she said.
Also, Alex, if you start rhyming, if you start your speech with if the first two or two and a half lines rhyme, don't you have to finish rhyming?
Not if you're really cool, right? Like, all the best rappers get away, like Rick Ross and some of these other people really get away with it, I feel like. So, I mean, maybe, like,
stop,
I certainly don't
have
to make
Rick Ross on Big Brother podcast happen. It's the second time today you've been talking about Rick Ross.
You're right. I thought about it as soon as I said it. But, I mean, I certainly can't get away. Like, my raps have to rhyme, but, you know, if you're cooler than me, maybe you can. You know, the bottom line is it's still less cringeworthy than what Jessica's going to have to say. So, you know, props to her.
Yeah, so that's better than this.
Halting Hex Rise. Eviction Night Dies. Halting Hex Rise. Eviction Night Dies.
Eviction Night Dies.
Halting Hex Rise.
Eviction Night Dies.
Yes.
Yeah, if you're giving me the choice, I'm like, where's the transcript of Dominique's rhyme? Send it this way. I'm reading it right now.
Yeah. So, all right, Dominique ends up going out. She talks to Julie. Not really anything consequential. I thought she did say one thing that I thought was odd when Julie Chen asked her about going back. She said,
"How does that sound to you?"
Amazing. I got a lot of shots and I'm ready.
Got a lot of shots and I'm ready, Steve. Is that pickle juice? Hot sauce?
No, I think it's just she's anxious. I think she feels like she was shortcut. She's playing the what if game in her head and all the things she could have done differently, and she would love the chance to actually implement them.
Alex?
Yeah. Patoo.
Is that
guns blazing.
Shot.
So she has a lot of bullets, is what she's saying.
Yeah, I think this is another one of those instances where, like, Dominique's, like, phrasing, like, didn't necessarily, the delivery wasn't the intended message.
Or she's saying, I've got a lot of shots at this game. Like, if I go back in, I'll have a lot
well,
of
shots.
Well,
that's what we're saying.
Amazing. I got a lot of shots, and I'm ready.
I'm ready. Okay.
Yeah.
There's Dominique. Okay. So we had this weird segment, Steve, where we brought out the battle back people. And it started out, it was pretty good. We had first Cameron, and he got to be on the stage all by himself. Did you look at Cameron as a sympathetic figure this season?
I mean, it has to suck going home the first night. I mean, I can't imagine what that's like. And even worse, I can't imagine the games he's been playing with himself in his head. Because apparently they were all separated. None of them were together because they didn't know who was coming next, which means he's been sitting alone in a hotel room for several weeks doing nothing but playing What If.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So.
Oh, boy. Yeah.
Yeah.
I hope he's doing okay.
It's a dangerous place.
Right. Speaking of playing What If, I meant to say it on the podcast last night, but Dominique would be probably the worst person ever to play Guess Who with, that you're sitting across the table with her. Dominique, does the person wear glasses? I don't know. I can't say. I can't say if they do or not. Like, does the person have a mustache? They might.
And then her questions back would be even worse too, where she'd be like, does your person have snake-like tendencies? You'd be like, I just see a picture, I don't know. Yeah. I can't tell you.
Is the person molting?
Oh,
okay.
God.
But anyway, so this was fun. And then we get to Cameron. Who do you think is going to come out? Ramsey's? No, Jillian. He's like, oh, okay. All right, Jillian. And then there's Jillian, who has nothing to say ever. And then Jillian, who do you think is going to be? She says, I think it's going to be Cody or Jessica. Cody comes out, and Cameron's face dropped, Steve, that he was not happy to see Cody show up in the battle back. He looked visibly depressed after Cody came out.
Because didn't Cody win the one competition that happened in the house while Cameron
yep.
was there? So... I'm sure, it was the same thing that, Tiffany felt last season when she saw she had to compete against Victor.
Yep. Not good. Not good. And then Cody was really floored by the fact that Dominique came out. I think that he might have just been saying, wow, my lie really worked?
Worked.
That lie I told, people bought that? Wow, I guess anything could happen in this house.
I think that says a lot about what the impact Cody would have if he came back, because everyone this week has been saying Paul's the mastermind, Paul's the mastermind. Evicting Dominique wasn't Paul's decision. It was Cody's decision. People are missing that.
Mm-hmm.
And I really think it'd be – and I think that's really brilliant, where if Cody comes back in, he might be in a really good spot, because everyone's blaming Paul for what Cody did.
Yeah. So – yeah, we'll see exactly how it's going to play out. Julie says it's not going to be like last season's battle back, which really, if Big Brother wanted to engineer this to get Cody to come back into the house, though, Steve, wouldn't you think they would want to do the format the same way?
I think they... I believe them when they say that they have all the competitions and everything planned out roughly ahead of time. So I think they do have a strong preface to Cody, but I don't think they're going to rig a competition or pick a competition.
Okay, Steve. Well, as a Big Brother historian then, what is the difference between a battle back and when Judd comes back into the house and stands on a wall? Or when Johnny Mac – did Johnny Mac win the battle back in Big Brother 17?
Well, they didn't even introduce the name battle back until last
year. So what is the difference between a battle back, which was a tournament to get back into the house, and when you have people competing to get back into the house, because they're not competing against the house guests themselves? I mean, what was it? Was it the battle back when Nicole did shuffleboard against Zach Rantz and Jocasta?
No, well, the difference is Victor won a belt that he still posts pictures of on Instagram.
Yeah.
That's your difference.
Well,
battle back champ.
It was essentially a tournament style where with the battle back, because the later you were evicted, the fewer rounds you had to win. While with 17, Dizzyland, 16, they had the disc, 15, Helen wasn't pushed. Everyone was on the same ground of the four people battling to come back, and that hasn't been the case with the battle backs.
So I don't know how they're going to do this, because that sort of the logical assumption is, okay, it'll be an endurance competition. That's what they'll try to do here. But they need to make an hour show out of this, unless we're going to see the battle back and then see people come back into the house and see what it's going to be like that first hour or so in the Friday night show. But I suspect then they're going to be cannibalizing that Sunday night show if they do that. So, I mean, if it's an endurance competition and it lasts 10 minutes, what are the other 40, 50 minutes of the show, Steve?
I can't imagine they'll be bringing the person will be entering the house tomorrow night, just because I'm sure that's the type of thing they're going to want to do live. Mm-hmm. They brought Victor back in live, if I recall correctly.
Yeah,
and Johnny Mac came back in live. So I'm guessing it's going to be a series of competitions where it was suspiciously similar to the HOH that was played the day before.
So
yeah, series of head-to-heads. I think that's right. That's how you draw it out.
But how is that different than what they did last year?
It's not, Rob. It's the difference is that they called last year the battle back, and
but
they're
Julie
just calling
said,
this year the battle back showdown.
Like what we did last year, we're doing it differently.
Well, Julie,
the comps will be slightly different.
Julie already confirmed that it's not a guarantee. Even though I would be shocked if a person didn't come back in, she said that it's not a guarantee a person will be returning. And I think how this person returns is going to be dependent on how Jessica uses his hex. So I think the difference is once you have the winner, how that winner reintegrates into the game. I don't think the difference is going to be in the part of choosing who that battle back winner is.
So you think that it could be some sort of endurance type competition to start, and then there'll be a second part of this where we end up seeing some sort of a decision made in terms of the Den of Temptation?
I don't think the decision could be made yet, because I think that decision's going to what happens once we have that winner is going to depend on what Jessica does, since I'm guessing this person coming back is the curse for her using it.
Hmm. Could we see some sort of a matchup where the people that are voted out of the house are paired up with current house guests, Steve?
They haven't done anything like that before.
Well,
sure
that would
that
be
would
something,
work.
Right? This would be new. And I think that maybe the interesting part there might be that you have in Cameron and in Jillian, two people that the audience is not super familiar with. Is that a way to sort of like get them like use the characters that you already have that the audience is familiar with, and sort of like instead of having it be a night like, who is this? I don't even remember this guy.
I think that could actually make the game really interesting to have someone like Cameron come back in, because you get the automatic drama with Cody. But with Cameron, he essentially has no idea what's happened for several weeks. I think it'd be like a more extreme version of what happened with Tim and Nikki in Canada, where like they came in, they're fresh meat, and now everyone's going to try and campaign to that person, hey, be a number, hey, be a number. And I think Cameron would actually be really interesting just because of you have someone knowing nothing coming in 4 weeks in.
Alex, is it possible? Do we get four giant iPads in the Big Brother backyard? And then we are in teams of two with different contraptions, and they have to win Candy Crush.
Save this show. Save this show.
Rating stunt. That's Mario Lopez's music. Good God.
I just can't get over how this really is the same thing, but they did add the word showdown on the end, so like that does give some room. And I really love, I was reading Reddit earlier, and I want to give a shout out, the Long Conrad said Big Brother 18 battle back, 19 battle back showdown, 20 battle back showdown extravaganza, 21 Miss Peregrine's home for the battle back showdown extravaganza.
Yeah, keep pumping it up. Good. Get hype. This is big. Okay. Steve, do you see any scenario where Cody does not come back from the battle back showdown?
I think, especially with the waves that Dominique created, I think it would be really interesting to see her come back and try to mend all the fences she essentially spent the last couple of days bridging, the last couple of days building. Mm-hmm. And I think Cameron, I'm not even sure I'm saying I think it will happen. I just think it'd be so fascinating to see someone coming in knowing nothing 4 weeks in, because nothing like that happened before, and that would be just really interesting to watch.
Yeah, Alex,
I'd be really excited to
see
Cameron play.
This would be rather unprecedented at this late stage in the game to have somebody come in who is really just a no. Actually, Steve, could you talk a little bit about with when you guys had Liz and Julia? You know, they were switching but it was a little bit like they were only there half the time, then they were both in the house. Is that similar at all?
I think the big difference with twins is that they had the time to relay all the important information. And plus, they had someone like Austin who was blindly working with them, and Austin was constantly filling them, so they got everything piece by piece by piece. While Cameron is just going to have, hey, here's 3 weeks of 24/7 footage, ba-boom.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess the difference is Cameron's not going to have any time to digest it. And plus, since the twins always had a person in the house, they were always establishing loyalty since they were always going to be working together anyways. Yeah. They were able to put themselves in the Sixth Sense or whatever alliances that they were flirting with. And Cameron's just a completely free agent.
Mm-hmm.
Right. It really is interesting because here's a guy that just didn't even establish – like he was there such a short amount of time. They don't even remember his name. They're calling him Carmen and Malcolm and all these things in there. So like they have no idea. So he's going to come in at a time when everybody pretty much at this point knows everything about everybody. Like all they have to do in there is talk. Someone at this point, we're reaching the stage of the game where someone's like, did I tell you about the time? Yes, you told me about the time. Like mm-hmm. we're about there. So – you know, Cameron's just going to come in and just by default. Yeah, that's a breath of fresh air because like, oh my God, someone else to talk to. Like, I don't want to evict him right away. It's like just another person who can just do something different than what I've been dealing with for the last 40 days.
What would be really cool about Cameron coming back is you kind of have your – there's no alliance name, so I don't know what to call people. The Cool Kids Alliance, you're Matt, you're
I call them the
Raven.
Organic grouping.
The Dominique's team. Dominique's team.
Dominique's former team of betrayers of snakes. Team Snake. Is that, let's call them Team Snake. That's the line.
Team Snake. They like being the cool kids. And Cameron, by nature of being the token nerd of the season, he's the outsider. So he's – I don't even think they're going to try and rope him in. I think Cameron, by default, is going to be working with Jason. And he's going to be working with Alex. And he's going to be working with Ramses. And I think it could be a – it would be interesting to see him give that ammo to the not current inside
Although
of the
Alex,
house.
Does Cameron see himself as not one of the cool people on Team Snake?
Do I not hope deserve so. To be evicted tonight. However, I mean, my own team betrayed me.
Yeah, the own team.
Can I petition that the name of that alliance is now Dominique's former team?
No,
I
team
want
Snake,
that to be the
team
name
Snake,
of that alliance
team
now.
Snake, a.k.a. Dominique's former team.
Rob, did you notice at the beginning of the episode when like the announcer was doing the intro package and stuff? And I don't know if it was because we all were so critical of like the overuse of the snake stuff last night. But he was like, Paul is the Benedict Arnold. And I'm like, oh, they went with a different metaphor for a change. Mm-hmm. Like, really reached down a little bit below the dirt this time.
That's right. They're trying to – it's a thinker now, Big Brother 19. All right. So this is an interesting theory that came across Twitter. This is from C. Steve B. Steve, a.k.a. Stephen H. on Twitter. He writes that Julie said it was three competitions. My guess is all four compete in the first comp and one person gets eliminated each comp. We saw this basically play out with Team Freakazoids back in Big Brother 18, where we saw that was going to be the battle to see who was going to be eliminated. And Glenn, Alex, you know, I've got Glenn's coconut in the other room in the Glen of Temptation. And it was me and Corey. We were down to one coconut. And I could have had it. And so, Steve, do you think that we could have seen something like this where each round the person who comes in last gets eliminated? Because that way, you know, where we're talking about, like, are people going to be watching it if Cody isn't on until 35 minutes in? At least you have Cody competing in all the competitions. You have Dominique there. So you presume Jillian would go out first. You don't have to sit there. Like, I think they might be worried about, like, when Cameron is facing off against Jillian for 15 minutes and nobody has any points on the board. People are going to be tuning out and see what else is on.
That sounds like a survivor style immunity challenge, which is like the first six people to dig under their thing go on to the puzzle round, and are the three people who do the puzzle. They could do, that could be the way it's different. Instead of, I just dislike that because I feel like that gives Dominique no credit for getting further than say Cameron. I like the person who made it the longest having the best shot in coming back.
Yeah.
So I would not like that system, but it's definitely plausible.
Alex, what do you think of that?
Yeah, I'm with Steve. I think I preferred the format last time because it's not like Victor wasn't able to do it from second place. You know what I mean? He just had to work a little harder because he went out a little earlier. And rightly so, because like even Paul was in on the fix when he went home, so he deserves to work a little harder.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I just think from production's perspective, they say, okay, well now we have Cody, who's our star of this show, and we get him on the screen the whole time. We don't have to wait to get to his round of the battle back, and presumably he's not going to come in last in any of these competitions. Maybe there's an upset. There's something that he can't do in the final head versus head, but I think that this also helps him. All right,
I think it is more conducive to television too, right? Because you've got like four people moving, you've got more moving parts if four people are competing, and then the three, and then it's not just one-to-one every time, so maybe that does
right,
play
more action
as well.
Especially if you get a situation where you have two people are just really bad at something. I feel like that even like Victor and Jose were bad at like the tennis tournament that went on forever, and so it's a little bit, again, these people are eliminated early, they're not good at competition, so it could be a little like Keystone Cops out there. Anyway, Steve, before I start to get into questions, any other observations that you've had through Big Brother 19 that you want to get out there?
There's one thing I want to talk about, because we haven't talked about Paul yet, and it's funny how this entire show has been the Paul show. I mean, he's hosting every competition.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like he's hosting. So production is clearly pushing him. And a lot of people are... I've seen a lot of people talking about this being BB16 again, with a Paul steamroll similar to a Derek steamroll. And I think the question that I would like to get your guys' opinion on is, I want to go back quick. Okay, I'll make this make sense. Helen in 15 was someone who steamrolled very much in the beginning. Everyone was saying she's going to win boring season. She wasn't able to keep it up, and that's why she left in the middle of the jury. Beginning of 16, I didn't think Derek was going to be able to keep it up. I was low on the Derek stock for a while just because I saw how high he was. I'm like, I don't think he's going to be able to sustain it. He proved me wrong. So I guess, do you think this is something that Paul's going to be able to keep up and he's going to be able to Derek it to the end? Or do you think something's going to happen halfway where people get sick of it?
Okay, this is a very interesting question, and certainly the question of the season so far. Let me change up my opinion a little bit, because I had an interesting text conversation with one Sophie Clark this morning, where she was telling me that she's been listening to the podcast, and we've made a lot of comparisons to Boston Rob in Redemption Island to Paul with how he's played the game this season. And Sophie said, no, Paul is not Boston Rob. Paul is Coach. And if you take a look at where, you know, Paul is beating the drum of, I've got friendship. Friendship is honor. That's integrity. That's loyalty. That's what I'm all about. And as Paul goes ahead and has to stab his friends in the back, could potentially Paul be a losing finalist for the second year in a row? Paul makes it to the end, but does everybody that he played with say, hey, wait a second, Paul, you told us you were all about friendship, you're all about friendship bracelets, you weren't going to break your word. Here I am on the jury, you stabbed us all in the back, you were the snake, Paul. And Paul ends up being a losing finalist again. Steve, what do you think of that?
I hope, well, that sounds like it'd be a bitter jury, and bitter juries are always pretty terrible. I think that I'm nervous about the Survivor analogy, because like you have people like Boston Rob, who was able to run that season, and Tony Vellaccio's in Survivor in whatever season that was. I don't remember
Kagyan,
the name.
Yeah,
Kagyan. But the problem in that riding high for the whole season is something that generally kind of works in Survivor.
Mm-hmm.
That's happened and to the end in Big Brother US. That's happened one time, Derek. Anytime anyone else's stock was this high in week three, they didn't get to the end.
Right. Usually you want to be peaking around the 2/3 mark and then, you know, go on or have your momentum and inertia carry you to the end.
Final seven.
So I think to answer your question, if he has that Derek level of skill and he's able to pull that off, then he's going to have no problem getting the jury to vote for him. So if he's good enough to not have a bitter jury, he'll be good enough to get to the end.
Steve, let me just also ask you, with the case of if Paul makes it to the end, no matter who he sits against, it's going to be a case of a returning player versus a new player. And in the case of Dan versus Ian, we saw that jury side with the new player. Do you think that that would be a factor for the people that are voting in this season, that they would want to potentially give the money to a person who has not played before as opposed to Paul, who was the returning player?
I think the bitterness with Dan was partially because he won and Paul did not win. I think that helps him a lot in this case. Mm-hmm. And I think the other issue that Dan faced, where a lot of people were upset with him on all the different things he was swearing on and putting his word on while breaking it, and a lot of the jurors were upset about the ethical lines Dan drew. Dan had the, I'll do whatever, there's morals out the door, and the jurors went okay with that. Mm-hmm. So I think Paul didn't win, and he's also, so far, has not gone down the road of swearing on things or swearing on a Bible, putting his word on his grandma, things like that. So I think the things that cursed Dan so far have not come into Paul's game.
But Alex, can't you see a scenario where you have people like a Josh on the jury, like a Kevin on the jury, and the fact that Paul lied to them and ultimately knocks them out of the game, can't you see them being not necessarily like, he got me.
Mm. Yeah, and I mean, Steve's correct. I mean, he hasn't done it yet. But that's the key. I mean, I could see him going down this path. I'm not sure if we necessarily made the coach comparison directly, but I know this is something that we've kind of touched on. This idea that Paul, I mean, really with this idea of, you know, the way he plays the game is in inspiring loyalty and friendship and this kind of stuff. And you can beat that drum and be successful. But at some point, you have to reconcile what you're saying with what you're doing if you want people to respect you enough to reward you at the end. And if you're unable to do that, we see what happened with Coach, where Coach is saying, I'm all about honor and loyalty and integrity. And then the game is forcing you to vote out these people that you promised things you couldn't deliver to. And so you were unable to prepare properly for that.
The question would be if Paul is playing friendship, 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 and then he's this big lying backstabber, would it make a difference if he came out at the end and said, ha ha, I tricked you, give me your vote because I was able to trick you?
Yeah.
Like it could, if he owns it at the end, that might be able to overcome it.
I don't know.
It could just piss off the jury more.
Big Brother is such a deeply personal game as opposed to Survivor. And Survivor feels like a year when you're out there. But, Steve, I can't imagine what it's like going through that experience, 90, almost 100 days at times, and then having somebody saying that, yeah, I was your fake friend for 100 days. Now you should give me your vote.
Well, I mean, that's the line between where game starts and where personal stops. I had lots of great personal relationships with a lot of people in the house that I didn't want around. I love Becky. Becky was a great friend of mine the entire time I was in the house, and I separated that from strategically wanting her out. And if you have people who are good at that, just because Paul stabbed you in the back doesn't mean what you shared with him wasn't real. It just means for his game, he had to get you out.
Alex, how do you anticipate that Paul is going to take the battle back, that he really worked hard these last 2 weeks to take Cody out? Cody went out on Paul's HOH and then really beat the drum to have Dominique go out. How do you think he's going to react to one of them coming back in?
Probably not super well. I mean, the joke of it all here, right, is that Julie's, mentioning it like nobody has any idea. And the house guests have been talking about it on feeds all week. Everyone is prepared for some kind of returnee situation soon. Mm-hmm. So it's just such a laugh. Like, even the casuals are like, what are you talking about? We totally remember this from last year. Like, nobody who's watching this show is buying that line of rhetoric. But, I mean, ultimately, I think Paul's problem, right, is that, through these 3 weeks of safety, he's played this game in a way where he's really tried to, lock it down, like really just, squeeze it all and like have it between his hands. But it may start to run through his fingers here a little bit with some of these like extra, dynamics that are added. I think especially if like Cody were to come back and tell Paul like he's not going to work with him, because that would be the kind of thing he would do. If Cody decides not to work with Paul, he would just be like, no, dude, I'm not going to work with you. And that would infuriate Paul, because nothing Paul says would be able to like break through that membrane if Cody had made up his mind. And then at that point, if Paul's able to like get Cody up on the block and Jessica's able to save him with the halting hex, like that's like another layer where I think you could start to see Paul's game really unravel at that point.
Now, another thing not to be forgotten is that Paul is no longer immune, that he is now vulnerable to get put up on the block here in week 4, Steve.
I've I think he has enough control where he's not going to be netted,
yes.
if you will.
Did they even mention it on the show one time?
No, they don't even want to put it out there in the universe.
They don't even want you to know the Paul's no. going yes. to be voted out.
Again, I mean, he's it clearly says something when he's hope like usually like when you pick players for the veto competition, you'll have the HOH say, "I need to choose a host, and I choose Alex," and that didn't happen. It was just automatically Paul.
Yeah,
that's right.
Alex, I have a feeling that wasn't the HOH's choice.
If we found out on Friday or Saturday that Paul was on the block, is there a scenario that you can come up with? Who would have had to have won the HOH? Dominique comes back from the battle back and wins? Is there any of the scenario?
Maybe Cody, if he gets some intel from Dominique that makes him think that, you know, Paul really has a big grip on the game and he wants to, you know, break that up now. I could see that. But I don't think really there's anyone that's currently in the house that is going to take a shot at him first. People are going to kind of take shots across the bow with him in the middle, I think, at this point. He has set himself up pretty decently well.
Okay.
Do you think someone like a Jason or a Ramses just being on the outside as they are would just say, screw it, I'm just going to go for the big move?
I mean, Ramses might. I mean, he's the one person that A, recognizes what Paul's doing, and B, isn't really like finding any inroad there. Because I think the few people that are at least somewhat aware of what Paul's doing are naive enough to think that Paul's doing it with them or for yeah. them the way Alex right. does. So I think, and you know, it's not that, to be fair to Alex, Paul is working with her at this point,
yeah.
but Paul had a lot of options when he first agreed to work with her. It's just kind of, it's been fortunate that he's been drawn closer and closer to her because of everyone else's erratic behavior.
He made a lot of deals and he kept the one that was most fortunate at yeah. the time because she was the next HOH.
Yeah.
If you did it at this point in time also, you'd have to do a backdoor because there's like 9 people that would, you know, win the veto and take Paul down off the block also if he ended up on there. And so you'd have to wait until later in the week to do that. All right, I want to start to dig into a bunch of questions. Again, hashtag RHAP, and our feedback segment is sponsored tonight. Beachbody On Demand. Give it a shot. Do workouts in the comfort of your own home for 1 month for free. Text the word ROB to 303030 to try out Beachbody On Demand for 1 month. All right. Let's get into a question. Caroline is asking, can we talk about Julie Chen wearing jeans tonight? A lot of people wanted to talk about this, Steve. People felt like this was a very cash look from Julie Chen. Did you like this look tonight?
Well, Big Brother is the most fun summer vacation party ever.
Yeah.
So clearly she is dressed to party because it's summer and that means Big Brother.
Yeah.
Yeah. Real Summer of Love ensemble going on.
Yeah.
With
also,
the hippie
she had
necklace.
The peace sign, almost yeah. like the power of veto around her neck. I don't know if that was tied into the battle back.
It was a real 60s throwback. I think those sandals might have been made from hemp.
I'm not sure exactly what was going on, but yeah, I think that people were really taken aback. Sometimes Julie is super formal on the live shows, but tonight she swung it back in the other direction. She can do anything, Steve.
She's the Chen bot. She can do whatever she wants.
Yeah. Good work. Okay. This is from Laurel Ann, who wants to ask us, if Cody gets to talk to Dominique, what are the chances that he'll be able to crack her code?
Right, that's the issue. We're talking about like Cody getting information from Dominique, and I saw someone said on Twitter, I bet Dominique just told Cody Paul, and it's like, Dominique's not that direct about anything. Do we really expect her to just come right out and set a name like that? That's not necessarily a guarantee. You're right.
Okay.
Yeah, I think one of the most interesting parts of tonight were how Cody and Dominique were spilling information with each other. They're super anxious to talk and catch each other up. And it's kind of like what happened with Tiffany and Victor in the battle back last year, and how Tiffany fed Victor all this information about Frank. And I'm wondering how much, if Cody comes back, how much this is going to make Cody even more angry at Paul.
Hmm.
Especially because Cody's going to have more ammo with the hex, because Jessica will obviously tell him immediately.
Okay. What do you think, Alex?
Yeah, no, I agree. I mean, I think it's especially interesting if Cody comes back in a lot of ways now that Jessica has the hex, because we know Jessica is going to try to, which seems silly given the way Cody ruined their games. Like, you'd think the last thing she would do is impart information on him and ask him what to do about it, but that seems like what's going to probably happen.
Right. It does seem as though she's talking a good game, but they will be back together spooning by Friday night, right?
Yeah, and ironically, I think that's probably the worst thing for a game. Like, the best thing for the longevity of Jessica's game is for Cody to never get a chance to re-enter that house.
Okay. All right. This is a question from Nick D on Twitter. What if the halting hex consequence gives the battle back winner immunity? Steve, is that something that they would do?
Oh, I mean, maybe, because there's definitely a potential for a mentality of this is the easy next person out.
Like when Amy came back in Big Brother 3, they gave her immunity. She sat in the bathtub for the longest time.
Because with us, because we knew the battle back, it wasn't battle back yet. The buyback was coming. It was going to be Shelly, Jackie, Becky, and whoever was that next person evicted. And we as a house all agreed whoever comes back in is immediately going next. Mm-hmm. That was a unanimous house agreement.
Big Brother Wikipedia seems to create a distinction with those are re-entry competitions.
Re-entry competitions.
So there you go.
All right.
Steve, Mr. Robot Taryn asks us this question that said, Rob and the LFC have suggested Cameron paid the price of super duper fans Ian and Steve winning the game. Do you agree with this statement? Do you have the blood of Cameron, a.k.a. Malcolm, on your hands, Steve?
Great question.
I think it probably contributed. Mm-hmm. I think one thing that Ian and Cameron and I all have in common is that it took us a while to socially assimilate. Like, Ian was on the block week one and was saved by Boogie winning the coaches competition. I was like a plan C or plan B behind Jace my week one. And if either of Ian or I had had a first night buyout like this, I think it's likely we would have gone home anyways. So I think it contributed, but we didn't see much. I wonder if he had a hard time assimilating.
Now, that being said,
because it's his fault he forgot the clues.
Yeah, that being
said, it's his fault he forgot the clues.
Did Cameron have to be sacrificed in order for Ramses to win?
Ramses. Maybe, because I can definitely see Ramses doing really well. And I think that he's not getting the association because he came in as the cosplayer and not as the microbiologist. Mm-hmm. So it helped him distance himself from that. Oh, my God, he's like a guy who won before. We got to get him out.
Yeah. Do you look at Ramses as that sympathetic figure now?
Yes.
Okay.
I think he is going to do – I think he is so easy to get out that no one's going to want to get him out.
Well, here's a question I know that we've had asked and, you know, posed in various formats that we've even talked about a little bit, which is I've seen a lot of people online talking about how, like, Ramses is the Steve of this season, given that he seems to be, like, on the outs and stuff. And, like, obviously, like, the TV version of the show showed you, like, you know, alone talking to the cameras and stuff a lot. But, like, during that time, like, we were watching, like, we knew you were, like, in an alliance at that time. Like, you weren't completely on your own. So, like, what do you make of the Ramses comparisons? Like, are they fair, or do you feel like there's a fundamental difference in the fact that, like, you kind of knew your place in the game and he really doesn't?
Is Ramses not aware he's on the outs and on the bottom?
He knows, right? But it's like he can't do anything about it.
Nor could I.
Okay. So you see similarities there.
Oh, I absolutely do. Okay. I because, like, he gets to sit back and he gets to watch Josh and Jessica and Mark and everyone just screaming at each other, and he just gets to sit back and go, you guys have fun. I'll join you in 2 months when I win Final Six HOH. And I gotta say that it's the easiest and least the way of playing the game that requires the least amount of skill. It's just being that waste of an HOH. And that's why Alex didn't go after Ramses. Alex didn't particularly care about protecting Ramses. There was just someone else she wanted more, and I think that's gonna happen a lot with him in the future of no one cares about him, but no one cares about him. Mm-hmm. So there you go.
Don't waste your HOH on him. This is a question from Kimberly, and this is a good thought that I wanted to talk about. Is Jessica now seen as an underdog by the casuals? Do we blame the show's edit? How did she win the Den of Temptation? It's a great point. I mean, she is somebody who was thoroughly unlikable way back when she was coming across. I mean, she was fighting with Christmas on the live eviction show just 14 days ago, and we talked about how, boy, that's that's one way to get to the right at the bottom of Joker's updates. And now here she is. She wins the Den of Temptation. Steve, do we say that this was TV watchers who rooted for her because she was an underdog separated from Cody? Was it the vetoed costume? Was it people on the internet saying, like, hey, this is going to be the best feeds if we give it to Jessica, who's at the bottom? Or was it a combination of all those?
I think it's the flukiness of having voting for one person in a pool of a dozen people. It's kind of like what happened with Alyssa winning the MVP, and then when America had the nomination themselves, they nominated Alyssa. I think Jessica won because if you like the inside alliance, if you like Dominique's former snake team, the votes are going to be split between Mark and Paul and a bunch of other people. And if you like the outsiders, those votes are going to be split between Jason and Ramses. And if you like Jessica, you vote for Jessica. I think that's the fact that she's alone means her votes weren't split while everyone else's votes would have been split based on who you liked.
Yeah. What do you think of that theory?
Yeah, I like Big Brother 15 was before my RHAP days, so I didn't have like any kind of like feelings of ethical obligation or anything. And I'll say I was definitely on Twitter spreading lots of misinformation about those Alyssa votes.
What would you do? You would just be like, "Hey,
I'd be like, yo, if you're trying to protect Alyssa, definitely vote her on the block."
No, it's interesting because you have Paul, who's gotten so much airtime, and also Christmas, who's gotten a bulk of the airtime. Now you take them off the board, and now it's like, I think that the audience might have just not even known who to vote for. I wonder what the turnout was, if the casuals even did vote, and then that gave a bigger voice to people who really wanted to see a shakeup. I feel like that would be interesting to see, but we never find out that information, Steve.
I guess so. And I think if anything, if it is primarily a feeder audience, I think it is a testament to how much the audience has kind of turned on Paul from last season.
Mm-hmm. Although it's interesting, though, in Big Brother 18, Paul did not win any of those care packages.
I thought everyone got one at some point. Paul,
right,
never
Alex?
Got one?
We kept thinking he was going to get one. Oh, this is going to be the week Paul's going to get one. This is going to be the week Paul's going to get one. And then he never ended up getting the care package.
It was really bizarre. Yeah, it seemed like they were like skipping over. Like we kept thinking Paul and Victor really were going to get him. And they just really was going to the other side. It was going like to Natalie and Meech. And then it went to like Cody randomly. And I think it does speak to what Steve's talking about, which is like having so many people available for a poll where like people had their clear favorites. But then also there was like a whole contingent of voters who were watching casually. And then there were people who didn't like, you know, the depiction of Paul on the show versus the depiction of Paul on the feeds. There were people who like didn't like some of the comments Paul had made on feeds. So there was like a lot of factors in play, and there's not a lot of like explanation and, you know, real clarity given with any of these things. So, I mean, it's pretty hard for us to like really, you know, isolate any one factor that's ever going to be in play here.
That being said, Taryn's poll did point to Jessica, and that is a good indicator that he is on point this season.
I'm sure casual watchers were rooting for. I mean, the vetoed thing in conjunction with your showmance leaving, in conjunction with like her in tears in a silly costume, like it all adds up to the perfect storm of like undercat status. But at the same time, the feeds watchers were, you know, starting to trend that way too. And I think in large part from what I was seeing, it was because they were hoping she would shake the game up. So you get it all.
Okay. This is a question from John Densford. Steve, can we get your winner prediction on the record?
That's a lot of pressure. If I had to make a guess, and I am so sorry I'm going to say this, but can I give you two? I'm going to give two.
Okay.
Kevin or Ramses.
Okay.
I think those are two people who are not in the spotlight. Those are two people who are not on the show. I think with all this drama, Ramses was kind of in it for a while, but people are forgetting about him with all this drama, and no one's even really started thinking about Kevin yet.
Okay. Alex, what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I think those are good picks. I think Kevin, you know, we've seen on the feeds and it didn't make the show, but Kevin this week a little bit more with, you know, some of the things he's doing with casting hinky votes and stuff is kind of out there. Like, I feel like he's not like as tight with some of the people, like the Alexes and Jasons, as he was when this week started, but they're certainly not going to come after him anytime soon. He doesn't have any kind of a target on his back. I totally agree that Ramsey's is, you know, doing a better job slipping under the radar. I think a lot of people are planning on potentially nominating him if they were to win this HOH, but I don't know that he would be a target for most of them. So, and there's a lot of ways this could still shake out with somebody coming back and, you know, all the other factors that are still in play here. Obviously, anytime some big occurrence happens in the house, it allows someone like Ramsey's, who's trying to play a very, very quiet game right now, a little more room to breathe.
I really, really hope to not see Ramsey's in the DR for another month.
Yeah.
And same with Kevin. I hope they do not show up on my TV for a month. I'll check in with them at top eight.
Steve, the Den of Temptation is apparently ending after tonight, but Julie did hint that this curse could be tied into some new game element. What do you think that could potentially be? Do you think that we will have some new version of a Den of Temptation?
No, I mean, these twists, they always do something new at the beginning of the season to make it exciting. Yay, it's new season, we're doing this new twist. And then they get rid of it a couple weeks in because the game is interesting enough in itself at that point. It's not a bunch of awkward strangers walking around not knowing what to do. I don't think there's a need to throw in another completely game-changing twist at this point.
Okay.
Do you still have the takeover clip over there, Rob?
Who's ready for a takeover?
Yeah. Well, let me tie this into that. We have a question from Christian Country Boy, who says that Julie Chen said in a recent interview that the takeover was her least favorite Big Brother twist.
Get ready for a takeover.
Oh! What? Julie hated it. What?
Oh my God. I mean yeah. the only part that really ended up affecting the game at all was having Jeff and Jackie come in.
Yeah.
But what about when Lance Bass tweeted his appreciation for the Wax Street Boys?
Yeah.
Cool. I don't know who that is, but he sounds fancy. Was he a member of the Backstreet Boys?
Right.
Yes,
right.
Indeed.
Well, wonderful.
And imagine how controversial we would have if Kathy Griffin came in and hosted a week of Big Brother this season, Steve.
I'm not going to comment.
Yeah.
Oh, wait. Lance Bass is in sync. It wasn't him.
Yeah. Jillian might leave the show if that happens. It'd be very upset.
Eat me alive for that one.
Yeah. Okay. This is from Caroline. It says, what's Steve Moses' sound thoughts on Christmas?
I really liked her going into the season. I love seeing some strong, enthusiastic women players coming into the game. So I thought I was really looking forward to it. And my heart is just crushed for her.
Like her foot.
My heart is crushed as much as her foot is crushed. Just because not only is this a game thing for her, it has the potential to be a real life thing for her because her career is in fitness and this can affect that. What I'm really hoping, because she is a smart cookie, what I would really, really hoping is that what she's saying about how long her healing times are and getting arthritis in the future is that she is exaggerating the ever-loving crap of how injured she is to play at the, oh me, I can't play a competition. You shouldn't vote me out. I not only would that make me so happy for her in life, that would make me love her as a player to pull off a lie on, ha ha, it was just a quick minor injury, not big deal, but I played it up to be way worse than
so
it is.
So she could be Matt Hoffman-ing it, but do you think that would be potentially, would she tell us that in the diary room, or she would, in that scenario, is she exaggerating the injury? Again, we hope that that's the case. And then would she not even tell us in the diary room?
Well, here's my issue with that. I mean, I love the theory, and I think that would be great, like you said. I mean, both for her personally and, you know, to see, to what degree would production play into your ruse there? Because she now has a scooter in the house that she's been given to help her mobilize and get around. And she's just one little, away from being my grandmother right now in there. So I don't think... Mm-hmm.
Probably not. By the way, kudos, Alex Kidwell. We got to see your buddy Matt actually speak on the show tonight. He found out that he did not receive the Den of Temptation.
Sorry, America has chosen not to tempt you this week. Sounds good, America. Appreciate it.
Thanks, good. Appreciate it. All right,
see you next week.
Bye bye. Okay, but eat cereal. Bye. Okay.
You got my check in here?
Got my checks in here? Yeah.
The thing about Matt, he's another – I always look for the people who aren't on the show. Matt's not on the show.
He is not on the show.
He's another person that I think he has a level head on his shoulder. He's someone else I can see doing well. I'm just really, really hoping he does not get lost in Ravenland. And I don't know how far he's going to go into it.
Yeah. Raven is like really dressed up on all of them. Like, just, I don't know. Where is she going, Alex?
I don't know. I mean, she's one of these girls that really like brought a lot of outfits and makes a lot of plans to like get done up for the live shows and stuff. She really is like very much a,
hey, hi, how you doing? I'm on the show. Hey, I'm with a guy that's eating cereal all the time. Hi.
Yeah. She's like grown up Punky Brewster or something. I don't know.
Cool, yeah. Take it down a notch, Raven. Come on. Yeah. All right. That being said, Steve, any final thoughts on Big Brother 19?
I gotta say, I'm really enjoying the drama of this season. I'm enjoying seeing as many people like Josh who aren't laying low and making the good TV for now. And I'm also really excited that we do have the people who are laying low, who are thinking about their long game, like the Kevins, like the hopefully Ramses, and hopefully like the Matts as well.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people are really upset about the dominant role Paul is playing and seeing this turning into a 16, like with Derek. But I think it's likely that Paul will end up more like a coach or like a Helen than a Derek. Or even like a Pauly in the sense where he had all that control and it blew up. And I'd be thrilled to see Paul do really well, but I also feel like if history repeats itself, this is not going to be a 16 repeat. Paul be gone, if I had to guess, early jury.
It's really hard to do what Paul is attempting to do.
I do still maintain this narrative too, that like, you know, if Derek was like, you know, like just a stiff cocktail, like nothing added, and then Pauly like was on the rocks, and then with Paul now you've added a lot of water too. So like it's just not the same solution anymore.
Mm-hmm. Okay, we'll see. All right, I got a lot of hashtag ideas for tonight. Do you like Team Snake?
That's good. I thought your line Hex Appeal was really
Hex Appeal, the Glen of Temptation. We got a lot of different ideas that are out there. Steve, all right, you can be the decider.
I like the snake. Paul went with the snake. Everyone in that alliance is rolling rough, Paul. How about Dominique Snake?
We're going to team Snake.
Team Snake is too long for hashtag. Oh, yeah, Twitter, 140
snake.
Characters.
We'll go with Team Snake. It's a team.
Team Snake.
Okay, there you go. All right.
The Glen of Temptation.
I had to override you. You're
well,
a
they're not, and they're not naming any of their alliances in there, so we've got to do it for them.
Yeah, that's making life really – this feels like Survivor. They're not naming anything.
Right.
Okay. Very fun stuff. Okay, so tomorrow morning, I believe that there will be no live feed update because for the simple reason, there are no live feeds at this point in time. But we will be back on Friday night with a live show coming up at 9:15 p.m. Eastern to talk about how the battle back shakes out. And we'll have whatever updates are coming in from the live feeds as well on that show. So make sure you subscribe to the podcast for that. Rob has a website.com/iTunes. Earlier this week, I was a guest on the Adam Carolla podcast. And if you are so inclined to follow what's going on with the Ace Man or want to hear me on that show, you could go to robhasawebsite.com/ACS for Adam Carolla's show if you want to hear that interview. And I also had the pleasure of being the first guest on the newest podcast on RHAP,
The Taryn Show!
Yes. Hosted by Taryn Armstrong, and I talked about a lot of things, mostly personal more so than things on microphone on the podcast. So if you are interested in finding out a little bit more about my personal journey to get to this very mediocre point, then you could hear that. Go to robiswebsite.com/Taryn. All right. Steve, what are you working on these days?
I'm in Orlando and I do live sound.
Oh, I didn't know you're in Orlando now. What's in Orlando?
Lots of work transitions happening right now, so I don't want to say too much, but okay. I'm doing live sound in Orlando.
All right.
And
all
it's, right. I'm attempting golf now. I'm awful, but it's been fun.
Yes. Is that a major shock for you going to almost as north as you can get in the in New York to Orlando?
Yes. It's weird. It rains and thunderstorms for hours every afternoon in the summer. I didn't realize it was this bad.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's the thing. All right.
Those Florida rains, man. No joke.
All right. Check out at Steve Moses Sound. Is that right? Is that right?
Yes.
Okay.
That is my Twitter handle.
Steve, you were very fun tonight. Hope you come back.
I hope one of these buyback people comes back as well.
Okay. You put your hand in the snake's mouth. It didn't bite you.
I hope that continues to go that way.
Okay.
Because America chose to not tempt me.
Okay. Good.
Because they didn't tempt me with any takeovers.
Wait until you get the Glen of Temptation. That's when. Okay.
It's when they take away your water bottle.
Say, yeah. All right. And then Alex Kidwell, great job. Once again, follow Alex on Twitter at Alex Kidwell. Yes, Alex.
So a couple guest notes. Mike Bloom tomorrow night with you and Taryn on the Battle Back show. He's got an improv background. That should be a lot of fun, given that they probably won't give you a lot to work with on that show. Mm-hmm. It tends to be how those goes. And Karen Singbeal, in keeping with the Big Brother Canada news, we'll have Karen on Sunday night.
Kevin Martin?
I liked him on Big Brother 17, but I have to say I hated him on RHAP. He was so nice in Big Brother 17. Yes, from the recently renewed Big Brother Canada, we will speak with. Again, if you don't know who she is, if you're a Big Brother US watcher, Karen is very fun. I really enjoyed her on Big Brother Canada. So she's going to talk to us. And again, on Sunday night, that is going to be on the West Coast edition of Big Brother. We have Game of Thrones coming up. Stephen Fishback and I will be live on post-show recaps for the Snow It Alls at 10:15 p.m. Eastern Time, postshowrecaps.com, or on our Post Show Recaps Facebook page. That's where you can watch us live and ask your questions. And a lot of Game of Thrones going on. Steve, you do the Game of Thrones?
No.
Why? Why not?
My extent of TV
too
watching
scary?
Through my life has been Big Brother. I don't watch other TV.
Okay.
Oh, there you go.
I'm bad at sitting still for long periods of time, as I'm sure you've noticed. I can be just a little bit fidgety, just a little bit.
All right. All right. Sweet fancy Moses. There you go. All right. Good stuff. Take care, everybody. Have a great night, and we'll see you after the battle. What's it called, Alex? The Battle Back Spectacular?
Miss Peregrine. No, the Battle Back the Showdown.
Battle Back Showdown Extravaganza, four-part. Special Friday episode, Den of Temptation, the Hex. Yeah. What was the thing? Hex. The
hex
eviction
appeal?
Is Hex appeal.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
I was trying to say Jessica's chant, but I don't remember Jessica's chant. But that
brought to you by Ziggy Marley. Sure.
Yeah. Okay. There you go. Have a great night, everybody. Take care. Bye.